your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Who would it now?
And 92.5. Welcome into the bullpen with Sean Mates. I am Brian McDonald, our man Johnny Belmer behind the glass. Excited to be back. We were off last week because of Aggies basketball, and we damn near got preempted by Aggies basketball again.
Yeah, they're still playing.
Yeah, thankfully their pregame will start at 2 o'clock today, so we were just narrowly saved from missing another show. But maybe this is a product of being off 2 weeks, but we have a whole lot to talk about. The Astros and the Texans, even the Rockets making headlines, giving us plenty for here for team content. Let's start off with the Texans. It was an eventful week. Those first couple hours of free agency, well, legal tampering period, that nonsensical term. Yeah. On Monday, people were starting to panic. It seemed like you were on the air during that time frame. Was that fair? Did it seem like people were starting to panic that major moves weren't coming in?
Yeah, there's a lot of unease because it started at 11.
Right.
So it was when
And Dell were on.
Yeah, Dell and I were on. And it was still a little bit of like, listen, it's the first hour of it. We'll see. And then during Galan, George, it was more and more just – especially – not just because of the inactivity, but because of who was flying off the board.
Names people knew at running back.
Yeah, running back and Christian Wilkins. And
yeah, right.
That along with Jones and Matabike. So it was like a lot of like, hey, all the guys we've been talking about all the last 3 weeks are all coming off the board. So I think that led into, you know, some of the unease. And then I think they started making signings basically right at like 3:05.
Yeah, right when I went on with the Killer Bees. Yeah. So by the time Jeremy, Joel, and I went on the air, we had plenty to talk about because the deal for Azeez Al-Shaahir came down during the show. So did the deal for Danico Autry. And obviously the next day, Danielle Hunter came through. And then obviously now Nick Caserio is receiving praise where people were freaking out initially. So
yeah, I saw a chart where it was just like the roller coaster of free agency of like the vibes, and it was like day one low, day two up, and then day three back low again because they started.
Some people, okay, let's start there. Now, we got obviously there's a lot to get into.
Yeah,
with the
we
Texans.
Can go in move by move later, but let's start with like the general.
Yeah,
vibes.
We'll get into Joe Mixon, we'll get into Nico Autry and Azeez Al-Shaahir, Danielle Hunter. There's a lot to get into. But I've seen, like, I saw a report, well, not a report. I was at lunch yesterday with a buddy of mine.
A report?
And, yeah, yes, a report. I know, I said report. I was like, no, it's actually just a buddy told me this. What am I talking about? You're an idiot, Brian.
Inside info.
Sources close to me, because he was across the table at Lupe Tortilla. anyway, sources close to me told me that a former coworker of mine over at the flagship was making the claim, and this was later then verified by one Joel Blank, which I don't know why Joel's listening to the flagship. That's neither here nor there. Joel, if you want to defend that take, go ahead and call in.
Yeah,
you know the number.
What's going on
it's, yeah, it's 713-780-3776. Joel, call in. But apparently one of the hosts over there that happens to be in their afternoon drive time show was freaking out and making the claim that the defense this year has gotten worse. Like, I could see how you'd have a concern.
After the moves?
Yes. Like, obviously there's a concern about, you know, is Jimmy Ward good enough at safety? Well, hell, is Jalen Petrie good enough at safety? There's a concern about your second corner, and I think there's a valid concern about the run defense because you have some, maybe some undersized guys, maybe guys that are more pass rusher than run stopper. But to hear the vibes coming from the flagship of all places, not to take any undue shots towards them, but I just don't get how you can have the mindset that the team got worse.
No, because I mean especially the defense. Defense got way better. There are still some moves left to be made for Nick Caserio, and that's a little bit of why. Not just the first 3 days, like the riding the roller coaster of emotions the first 3 days, but even like the first week is a little bit silly because there's still plenty of cornerbacks to fill in that cornerback two, opening that Steven Nelson has left open.
It could even be Steven Nelson, right?
And there's still plenty. I mean, I think only Xavier McKinney is probably the only safety.
He's gone. Cameron Curl signed somewhere. I'm forgetting where he signed. But like Justin Simmons is still available.
Simmons, Diggs, all the guys. The top of the list guys that you can get probably pretty cheaply, or at least not, you know, you're not spending Danielle Hunter money on them. So there's a lot of holes still, or not a lot. There's like three big ones, really.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about three holes, not 16 holes, right?
And you still have what, five more weeks until the draft?
Yeah, so I mean,
you still have so much free agency time to plug something like corner.
Safety, exactly.
I think that's what you address in free agency. If I'm, you know, giving advice,
put on the sweater
put on
vest.
The vest.
Put on the vest.
Yeah,
I think, like the clown freak and tell us what you're gonna do.
I think, and we'll talk a little bit more about their trade out of the first round.
Yeah.
But especially with the trade out of the first round, you're probably not going to be able to get a starter at corner, because if you can start day one in the NFL at corner, you're probably not going to be a second round pick.
So, yeah, that's definitely a reasonable take.
So I think going with the DB spots in free agency is probably the way to go, and then address defensive tackle in the draft in the second round is probably how I would do it. Obviously, still a lot of time because of the most surprising part of Texans free agency was the reshuffling of the front seven. We knew that they were going to make moves along the front seven, but the fact that Grenard, Malik Collins, and Sheldon Rankins...
Other than Will Anderson's the only returning starter.
Yes, that to me is the surprising part. How about you?
Yeah, that is fairly surprising, but I guess in hindsight we shouldn't have been surprised, because literally as soon as D'Amico Ryans took the podium after the playoff loss to the Ravens, like one of the first things he told us was, we have to fix our defensive front.
I think
we heard that at times, like, well, you're the sixth-ranked rush defense, but he's obviously looking at these guys, and specifically it seems like with Malik Collins, like, that ain't good enough.
Yeah.
I got to do better than that.
And I took that as he's looking to add to the unit. As opposed to
an overhaul,
get these jokers out of here.
Yeah. So I mean, you talked about, you know, safety and corner. What to you is left to do this offseason? I think you identified obviously a few holes there: safety, corner, defensive tackle next to D'Amico Autry.
Yeah, I
think you throw in running back depth and wide receiver three. Like, how would you prioritize those needs for free agency and then the draft?
I'd go cornerback number one. I'd go defensive tackle number two. You just need kind of a plugger type. You don't need, like, D'Amico Autry can bump inside on pass rush downs.
I mean, he's going to have to play there a lot. I mean, yeah. If you got Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson on the edges.
It's more of him not going in there on passing downs, but it's more of getting him off of there
in rundowns.
I think that might be the more targeted way of saying that. But yeah, I think those two. And then after that, those two spots, I think it really is kind of a grab bag of either running back depth, because they're not – all these positions aren't like super problematic. Like the second running back is not as big of a deal as your second cornerback, because you have to put three of them out on the field at the same time.
You're certainly right. Yeah,
With safety, where it's like you can just go in there with Petrie and Ward. You would like another option, but it's not as big of a hole as those two other ones. Same thing with wide receiver. It's really a case of either they're going to cut Robert Woods and add a receiver, or they're just going to roll in there with Robert Woods again. They can stand pat at wide receiver, but they can also – there is an easy swap they can make there. And then some offensive line depth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even mention left guard.
Did get Charlie Heck.
Yeah, so left guard still I'm just going to completely ignore you that you mentioned Charlie Heck there. I think you're right in identifying the top two needs, because for the same reasons you mentioned. Like, they have at least people who seem at least capable, you know, as far as like Damien Pierce as a backup running back.
And now the
re-signed Noah Brown, a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But with defensive tackle and cornerback, to me, they still need starters. Those are the two, we listed six needs, I think. Of the six needs, defensive tackle and corner, the two spots, like, they can't go into the season without adding to that.
Yeah, and that's the reason that that safety and running back, other than just like where they fall on how important these positions are. It's also the fact that you can depend on, or you can at least talk yourself into, bounce back from Petrie and bounce back from Damian Pierce at running back, two guys that were 2022 draft picks that looked awesome.
That we were super in 2022. High on, yeah, a year ago.
So they're the young stars of this team before they drafted all the new Pierce, young stars of the team.
Like, oh my God, he's one of the top young running backs in the league. He should have rushed for 1,000 yards in his rookie season.
So that's,
and now he's a bum.
People talk about him like he's not even on the roster.
When you look at the second half of the season, I guess this is why obviously corner and D-tackle are the biggest needs, but running back depth seems like a big need. We'll get into Joe Mixon probably the next segment.
Yeah.
But second half of last season, when you look at the game log, Damian Pierce was getting one, maybe at most two carries.
Yeah.
Singletary was getting 99% of the work. And I feel, and this will roll over to the second in the next segment here in a second, but I feel uneasy about going into the season handing a running back who will be 28 like Joe Mixon 99% of the carries.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why you're looking at either Pierce or more. You're going to have to bring in someone else. Like, you can't just have two running backs. So there will be another body in there, whether that's in the draft, and it's a position, again, that you can get someone to fill that role, someone to get 10% of the carries
for your team
in like the fifth round. So they probably don't need to go out.
They don't need a committee. They just need somebody to take five carries.
Either
a game.
Yes, it's either a minimum free agent deal or a low round draft pick deal.
Like
when
fourth,
it comes to
fourth or fifth round.
Yeah,
pick. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah,
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, quickly before we go to break, and when we come back, we'll get specifically into Joe Mixon. From where you were in your excitement level and your confidence in the Texans going into the 2024 season, you know, 3 weeks ago to today, are you more confident and more excited about the Texans today than you were before free agency started?
Yes. I would say I went from like a 6 to an 8 on the excitement scale.
Yeah.
Like, I because the thing with free agency is that you're trying not to sign bad deals. And one thing you can say about Nick Cassero, he does not sign bad deals.
No, I mean,
if anything, that was the criticism, is he sticks to his price too much. And now that you kind of can take a step back and see what he's done, now it's like, okay, I see the vision with what Cassero has been trying to do.
Yeah, there's a couple places where I might like very, very tiny vibes. Like, that's a little much, but they're all deals that are like 2 or 3 years. So there's no long-term crippling deal. Like, going out and giving, look, I like Christian Wilkins. I wanted him on the Texans. There's no way I'm paying him $100 million. There's no way I'm paying Eric Armstead $51 million as old as he is and as often as he's been injured.
And same thing with the running backs, where you look at the guys that got signed and you're happy that you didn't sign Saquon Barkley to that contract.
And apparently they're pretty aggressive on him, and I guess bowed out once. I don't know what number it was that made Nick Cassero bow out, but the Eagles gave him, I believe, 13 per year.
Yes. Sometimes it's good to lose a bidding war.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is Saquon Barkley is an example of that. Tony Pollard is another example. Like, these guys that we talked about, DeAndre Swift, not signing those contracts and ending up with Mixon, who we'll talk about more next.
So,
that to me is a win.
Before we go to break, Johnny B, we haven't heard from you yet. You were more excited now than you were before free agency started?
Yeah, I think I am. I'm a little disappointed that, you know, Malik Collins it went out the door.
You had Malik Collins jersey, did you?
No, but, you know, that made me feel a little, you know, question a little bit there. But overall, I'm very happy, and I think my confidence level was probably at a 6 and probably went up to somewhere between a 7 and an 8 as well, kind of like you, Sean. Like, I'm feeling good about this team's future right now.
I think what we found out is when John plays Madden, he uses Malik Collins.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Yeah, that's my choice. Not Will Anderson.
I mean, because you win games in the trenches.
Johnny B knows that. He's old school. All right, when we come back on the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5, we're going to dig more into Joe Mixon, both from what we can expect from Joe Mixon, how much does he have left in the tank, and also the contract extension I think caught a lot of us off guard that they gave Joe Mixon right after the trade was made. That when the bullpen returns on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in Houston, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to join in the conversation, whether it be about Joe Mixon or the signings of Danielle Hunter and all the other guys on the defensive side, later we'll get into the Blake Snell rumors for the Astros, and we'll try to get to some thoughts on the Rockets as well. If you want to weigh in on any of that, give us a call on the HRP listener line. It's 713-780-3776. You can find me on Twitter. Brian McDonald is at SackByBMax. Sean is on Twitter at SeanAMapes. And our man Johnny Bilmer is on Twitter at Third Coast Johnny. So, as mentioned before the break, let's dive into Joe Mixon. I think other than the off-the-field stuff, people were universally excited about the addition of Joe Mixon to this team, replacing Devin Singletary as the starting running back. I share on the field, most of that enthusiasm, but I don't think he's, especially going at age 28, which he'll turn in July, I don't know if he's a slam dunk far and away better than, or as much better than Devin Singletary as people are making out to be. And I'll get into some of the numbers in a second, but your overall thoughts when the Joe Mixon signing went down? Or the trade.
Initial surprise because of what you mentioned with the off-the-field stuff. That's just not something the Texans normally do.
That's an Astros thing.
Yeah, it is an Astros thing. It's a Rockets thing, too. So that was probably my initial surprise, is that, wow, they're actually making a move for a guy with the kind of past that Joe Mixon does. But then after that initial thought, like thinking about it on the field, was like, okay, they got a starting running back in the NFL. That is what Joe Mixon is. And a good, an above average starting running back in the NFL. Someone that you can hand the ball off to. Well, no one does it 300 times a season anymore. But
not, well, two, outside of Derrick Henry. Yeah, it's really just one guy.
Someone you can hand it to like over 200 times this season and feel good about the production you're going to get. He has some crazy never fumbles stats, which I'm expecting him to fumble his first game as a Texan.
Why are you putting that out there? Some bad juju out of the air, man.
Go as the Texans. All
he's
right?
gonna get the first play of the season is gonna be a handoff to Joe Mixon. He's gonna fumble, and Sean's gonna be like, "See, I told you."
Yeah, called it.
Called it exactly.
I might put in a slip on that one. make a little bit of money. But no, my reaction was, okay, a good above average running back in the NFL who can stay on the field all three downs, and to trade him for a seventh round, or to get him for a seventh round pick, you can do a lot worse than that.
Yeah, so, and yeah, well, get him for a seventh round pick until they gave him the contract extension. We'll get into that aspect in a second. But obviously you hear the name of Joe Mixon, and once you get past the off the field stuff, you think of him as an on the field player. I believe he's had four straight 1,000 yard seasons. He's obviously been a Pro Bowl player, and you think, okay, this is an immediate upgrade over Devin Singletary. But as I started to dig into the numbers, and maybe this is my fault for digging too far into nerd stats, but Joe Mixon hasn't had a good yards per carry number since 2018. Like, he's been like 4.0, 4.1, 3.6.
He's a 4 yards per carry.
Yeah, yards in a cloud of dust like it's 1962. Yeah. So not only does he have the bad yards per carry number, but Devin Singletary, all five seasons of Devin Singletary's career, he's had a better yards per carry number than Joe Mixon. So I don't see Joe Mixon, especially going into season, I don't know what season is of his, but his season 28 year, I don't see him as this efficient back or this game breaker. Here's the most damning stat of all the ones I looked up. I mentioned yards per carry. I looked up broken tackles in yards after contact. He was, I think, 40th out of 48 running backs in yards after contact. But broken tackles, Damian Pierce, who got what, a handful of carries this last season, Damian Pierce had more broken tackles last year than Joe Mixon.
That is
not a joke. I looked at it twice. I got the googly eyes. Like, like I little spit yeah. take.
Wait, this is per game? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I couldn't believe what I was looking at it, but legit, look it up. It was on Pro Football Reference.
That's fine.
Yeah, Damian Pierce with his, like, 30 carries last year had more broken tackles than Joe Mixon. So I'm a little wary on his efficiency or maybe the expectation and the hype of we're going to get this massive improvement at running back. I don't think it's going to be that. But I do see improvement is Mixon is great in the screen game, and I still do think he has some explosiveness when he's out in open space, especially as a receiver and yeah. in the screen game.
Yeah, no, that is
the key. Texans haven't had that since Arian Foster.
Yeah, that is such a key difference between or not between him and Singletary necessarily, because Singletary is pretty good in the pass game, but as far as like an every down back kind of guy, that is an element that Joe Mixon definitely brings. And yeah, especially with a team that's really, I mean, for as much as we talked about running back, like, this team has CJ Stroud as its quarterback. Like, they're going to pass the ball a lot. Like,
I would hope so, yeah.
So getting a guy who's capable of running between the tackles but also can catch the ball and make plays as a receiver, that is basically the two attributes that matter the most. Maybe throwing pass protection, too. That's about really all you need out of a running back when you have CJ Stroud as your quarterback.
So getting into the contract extension, I don't know if this caught you guys, you and Dell and Joe and Paul off guard, but when I saw the contract extension, I was pretty surprised. For all the reasons we talked about, he's going to be 28 in July, so he's an older running back. It feels odd to extend him what will now be, if he got all of it, hypothetically, I know it's obviously not a given that he gets all of it, but it'd be his age 28, 29, and 30 seasons. And they had him at a number that would have been around $6-7 million for just this year. Now with the extension, it works out to basically $9 million per year with $13 million guaranteed, so you'd assume he's going to at least get two seasons. I just didn't see the reason or the need to extend Joe Mixon. I was happy, on the field to have him this year and then move on, hopefully find someone in the draft or find another veteran in free agency next season. What were your thoughts on the extension?
I mean, with all these deals, I just kind of look at the guaranteed number, and that's really all I need to know.
So $13 million guaranteed.
Yeah, $13 million. So yeah, that's.
It's probably two seasons.
Yeah, he's good. Definitely. I mean, he's definitely going to be on the team this year, and then next year he's going to be on the team. But they can also, if he's a disaster, they can get out.
If it's a disaster, it wouldn't be financially crippling for them to cut him.
It could be a situation where he's the starting running back this year, and they draft someone, and then next year it's more of a 50-50 proposition.
On Cash It or Trash It on Tuesday, I gave out. You know, obviously that segment is meant for hot takes that you maybe exaggerate your feelings.
Killer Bees?
Yeah, no, exactly. We've never given out hot takes before, but you know, the whole idea is maybe to take something that you believe in a little bit and exaggerate it to the point for content. And so my hot take for that segment was that Joe Mixon wouldn't finish the year as the Texans starting running back. Same way, like this time last year, Damian Pierce was the running back. Yeah. That's it, end of story. And by the time he got to week six, it's like, okay, Devin Singletary's the guy. Now, there's obviously a missing piece of that puzzle. We're going to have to see the Texans draft somebody in the draft. Or draft somebody in the draft. What great phrasing, Brian. But they're going to have somebody else on the roster to be capable of taking that place. But even if, like you said, he's got the $13 million guaranteed. If there's someone that clearly plays better than him or if he's a disaster, the Texans aren't locked in for a contract that they can't get out of.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why the contract extension to me is more just, put a little bit extra money in his pocket so he's not playing on.
Well, you certainly always root for a guy like Joe Mixon to get more money. I mean, that's what we're all climbing for. Like, good for you, Joe. We're rooting for you, Joe.
I meant that more.
It's time you got yours.
That's how business gets done in the NFL.
I know. I'm not calling you out. I'm just having a little fun.
Yeah, but although there are some details. No, I'm just kidding. We'll just not get into the details of the incident with Joe Mixon.
Just no one give him a Nerf gun sponsorship, right?
Yes. And also, if you want more on the details of the Joe Mixon incident,
check the internet. It's everywhere.
Yeah. That's why the contract extension, like, it's fine.
The only thing about the contract extension,
I'd rather have him than Tony Pollard. Rather have him.
Well, speaking of Tony
Pollard,
a lot of
these guys that got $8 million a year. So.
Well, that's kind of where I was. My only, like, I guess, other than the fact of it was unnecessary, and you basically, because you're now giving them at least $9 million for this year on AAV, whereas you were giving them six, so you're losing $3 million for seemingly no reason. But you're also now paying him on an AAV more than Tony Pollard, more than DeAndre Swift. Mixon's played better in his career than those guys, but he's also older. I don't know. Is it going to ultimately matter for the long term? No, but it was mildly annoying amongst a great week for Texans free agency. It was mildly annoying because it seemed so unnecessary.
Yeah, but I mean, when you compare Joe Mixon, like, he should get paid more than Tony Pollard. He's proven he can be a starting running back in the league. Pollard did not. He proved the opposite of that.
If you believe he's still in his prime, yes. I guess that's where my pushback is. We talked about the efficiency numbers.
He'll be in his prime for another year and a half.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, we got to get out. Let's talk about
Tony Pollard's in his prime and he's worse. What are we talking about?
This is not an endorsement of Tony Pollard. By the way, we're not really getting into it. What the hell are the Titans doing? I mean, giving Calvin Ridley $92 million, 50 guaranteed.
You know, Calvin Ridley,
up Tony Pollard.
Calvin Ridley is
the same age as Amari Cooper. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, I saw the side by side comparisons, like the games,
and
played.
They never played with each other in Alabama.
How is that possible?
Because Calvin Ridley got there graduated late, right? High school when he was like 20 years old.
Man, Calvin Ridley. I do like that Calvin Ridley signed with a team that had very low odds to sign him. Smart business move by him. I'm just saying. All right, other side of the break, when we get back here in the bullpen, we're going to dive into some of the free agent moves that I'm more excited about. And that, of course, is on the defensive side. What do we think about Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry, Azeez Al-Shaahir? And did D'Amico Ryans accomplish his mission statement from the end of the season saying he wants to improve the Texans' front seven? If you have any thoughts on that, or the Astros or the Rockets, give us a call at 713-780-3776. The bullpen will be back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You sit there and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers, and it didn't get you anywhere. Talk about your Psalms, talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whipped your ass.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is go buy him a cheap bottle of Thunderbird and try to dig back some of that courage he had in his prime. As far as this championship match is considered, son, I don't give a damn if it's Davey Boy Smith or Shawn Michaels. Steve Austin's time has come. And when I get the shot, you're looking at the next WWF champion. And that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold said so.
This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, thank you for that, Johnny B. That got my blood pumping. Happy 316 day, everybody. Sean Mapes. Give me a hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
All right. I had Sean walked in right as I was explaining to our producer, John Belmer, what 316 day was. Yes, Sean has the shirt from the Big 12 championship game. Big 12 316 says Texas just walked out with the title?
Well,
yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that works. That works. Yeah, we just kicked Oklahoma State's ass. Take that, Mike Gundy. But yeah, I had to explain before the show to Mr. Johnny Belmer the importance of Austin 3:16, the most famous, in my opinion, and the most important wrestling promo in the history of sports entertainment. So, happy 3:16 day, everybody. You got any favorite Stone Cold? I'm setting you up here. Do you have any favorite Stone Cold Steve Austin moments, Sean, Mr. Sports Entertainment?
Well, yes, I do. Funny you should mention that. When he hit Vince McMahon over the head with the bedpan when Vince McMahon was in the hospital.
You know what? Given what we know now, he should have hit him again.
Should have hit him harder.
Should have hit him harder.
Is he the one that fought Booker T in the grocery store?
He is. Yeah. That was the gif in one of my in my tweet this morning of him chugging the milk.
That was the second.
That's
another one that came to mind.
He fought Booker T in the grocery store. Yeah, and chugged the milk. Shout out to Booker T five times.
Also the beer spring, the beer truck in and spraying.
He drove lost. He had a streak where every week on Raw, he was driving different. He drove a Zamboni to the ring. He drove the beer truck. He filled up Mr. McMahon's car with cement because he backed up a cement mixing truck and poured the cement into Mr. McMahon's Corvette. It was a good time.
Yeah, Mr. McMahon.
Well,
thank you for addressing him with the respect.
No, that was character name. Character names. Yeah, anyway, we've lost half the audience now. My apologies. Let's get back into the Texans. If you have any thoughts on what the Texans did in free agency or anything we're about to talk about later with the Blake Snell rumors for the Astros or the Rockets' winning streak, give us a call on the HRP listener line at 713-780-3776. Or if you just want to cut a wrestling promo on our jabroni asses, I'd be fine with that as well. So the defensive moves for the Houston Texans – D'Amico Ryan said in that end of season press conference after the loss to the Ravens that like his top priority was improving the front seven for the Houston Texans, and certainly they've at least addressed it. They've made moves. They damn near completely overhauled it. Christian Harris and Will Anderson remain, but you add Daniil Hunter, you add D'Amico Autry, you add Azeez Al-Shaahir. To you, Sean, do you think D'Amico accomplished that mission statement? Is the defensive front better now than it was from when that Ravens game ended?
I think yes, but the job is not complete because, like we mentioned in the first segment, they still do need
The run game.
Yes, yeah. When they traded Malik Collins, the conventional idea, and it's actually been reported it was going to be a trade
for Eric Armstead. Yeah, but from what I understand, they were never going to do a deal for both Armstead and Hunter. So once Hunter signed, they then didn't think they had the money to pay both Hunter and Armstead. So they just went through with only the Collins for the pick. And so it was kind of an either or. Personally, I'm happy if that reporting is true and that's the case. I'm happy they chose Hunter over Eric Armstead, given the age, given the injury history of Armstead.
Agreed, but if you're not trading for Arms, so they were going to trade Malik Collins no matter what.
Yeah, because D'Amico Ryans, when he said we have to get better on the defensive front, he obviously has to be talking about some guys along the defensive front not doing a good enough job.
Like,
you don't say that if everyone is doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
And to me, trading Malik Collins for seventh and then only getting, I think it was 2.5 in salary cap savings, is a clear indication that D'Amico thought Malik Collins wasn't getting the job done.
Yeah, and that could be true. It could be just a system fit kind of idea.
Sure.
Where they tried him out and he was like, no thanks, give me Tim Settle instead.
How many puns are we going to have this year about Tim Settle?
Oh, I mean, when it was reported that the Texans were still in the mix for Eric Armstead, settled. and then Aaron Wilson was like, they're also in talks with Tim Settle if the Armstead deal doesn't go through. I'm like, well, his name is Settle. that's his name is Settle.
Oh, man. The headlines write themselves.
Yeah. But I think overall, to go away from puns and into actual analysis.
We could just spend the entire show making puns about Tim Settle if you like. Makes sense. Some Stone Cold Steve Austin. Mm, maybe briefly talk about Blake Snell and then end the show.
Yeah. I think that this Texans team just, again, they need another defensive tackle for me to feel good that they're going to be able to open up a can of whoop ass on every team that they play going forward.
I like that. Yeah. So I guess the thing I was more stunned about was what? Sports Entertainment Sean knew that was the name of Stone Cold's finisher. Yeah. Congratulations
really
on that.
I sold that joke, huh?
Like another wrestler. Yeah, we're gonna go all day with this. Get ready, folks, buckle up. I didn't really have a problem other than maybe the initial confusion of like, why'd you give away Malik Collins for nothing? But I think thinking about it and seeming like D'Amico maybe just doesn't like him as a fit for this team, I don't really have that much of a problem with it. I guess where I had more of a problem, especially since it would address like the big need you have right now along the defensive front, you know, having a run stopping D tackle. You were clearly interested in Sheldon Rankins. You clearly thought he was good enough to offer $12 million per year because reportedly they did. But then you walk away from the table because the Bengals give $1 million extra per year. It seems like if you're willing to pay Sheldon Rankins $12 a year, and he would be the piece that then finalizes that defensive front, gives you the run stopper to go along with your pass rushers that you added in free agency, Why would you walk away from that for $1 million a year?
Nick Caserio sets a price, doesn't go over it.
Man, I guess it's just like you can
set rules for yourself, and then every once in a while I'll be like,
isn't that a case?
Can I break this one?
Well, yeah, because it seems like you're setting a rule that like you have to. I think even if you set a rule for yourself, you have to use some common sense at the time. Sometimes where setting a rule can hurt yourself, because now by not paying that extra $1 million per year, you're then opening up another hole that you have to spend more money on. Presumably, you will spend more than $2 million on replacing what would have been Sheldon Rankin. So it seems like it would actually cost you more to then pay a whole other player compared to giving Sheldon Rankin an extra $1 million per year
over
a two-year deal.
That is true, but maybe they think they can reallocate that extra $10 million somewhere else.
Maybe so. So
they got to bring in Tim Settle, too.
So as they interest, I'm just going to move past Tim Settle right now. I'm not even going to pretend like he's a real person. So as they go about addressing the defensive tackle position, it sounds like you're in agreement with kind of my mindset. Is that needs to be, I hate to use the word specialist because he's a starter. I don't really want maybe somebody that can't do a little bit of everything. But it seems like they need to focus on like a run-stopping big dude, which immediately to me thinks, maybe Tavondre Sweat the second round.
I mean, that's of course what both of us think. But yeah, that is the general archetype of defensive tackle that we're looking for, is someone that can, that is, I guess, more of a run stopper, but can obviously, you would appreciate some versatility in what they can do, because overall you do need depth, so you kind of need these guys to do a little bit of everything, because you know, what if
Nico Autry
misses three games?
Look at where the Texans were going to playoffs. And obviously, edge rusher, not interior defensive lineman, but Will Anderson, Jonathan Grenard were banged up. They needed other guys to step up. So certainly they need depth. And I hope, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the defensive tackles.
Tukasi.
Thank you. I'll just let you handle it. I'll just point to you. You'll say his
Fully
name.
Fully Fatukasi.
There you, thank you, go. So I'm not going to, if
Fully Fatukasi.
If he and Tim Settle are the depth behind Nico Autry and whoever else they get in the draft, or maybe if there's another free agency move to come, I'm fine with that. I guess my concern would be if one of those guys then has to start. Like, I wouldn't want Tim Settle or
Fully Fatukasi
to be a starting defensive lineman on the Houston Texans.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
I don't know if you view that as a bigger need than corner, but it's right up there.
For me, corner is a little bit bigger, just because the like range of outcome from, you know, put it, if you have to bump someone up a position at, where they should be a backup, instead now they are the starting cornerback, that will get picked on more than the difference between a starting defense tackle and Fully Fatukasi or Tim Settle. So, and especially, and this might be looking, oh, no, this actually is looking the right amount of head. I was going to say it's looking too far ahead. This is actually the perfect amount. You look at the quarterbacks that they're going to play, the Texans are this season. You're gonna need corners.
Yeah, I mean they got Josh Allen. They have Patrick Mahomes on the roster. I mean it's gonna be a star. Lamar Jackson's gonna be on there. So it's gonna be a star set of group. I mean Dak Prescott. I love the subtle shade thrown at us. Hey, he's got his own problems right now.
And that's the bottom line.
All right, before we go to break and change topics. What do you think the like if all these moves like hit their maybe not like their most you know optimal upside but just like a most reasonable you know upside, do you think this could be a team that leads the league in sacks? Do you view this as a team that could be like a top 3 to 5 defense in the league? Is that reasonable as a possible upside if these guys hit their ceiling?
3 to 5 is tough for the defense because of the schedule that they're going to have to play. So that's asking a lot. I think them being top 10 would be a success, top 10 in defense. But I do think that they're going to be a very, very, very good pass rushing team.
Yeah, I mean,
their top three pass rushers right now are Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson and Denico Autry. That is a menace.
Yeah, two of which had 10 plus sacks last year, and the third guy was the defensive player of the year, who's only going to defensive rookie of the year. Who you would assume only is going to go up when having two guys like that. That the defense. I mean, they're not going to shade away protection away from Danielle Hunter.
No, and that's the difference between Hunter and Grenard, and we both think Grenard's good, but he's just a different, Danielle Hunter's just on a different level.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so on the other side of the break, when we get back here in the bullpen, ESPN Radio, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, we're going to talk about the Texans trading out of the first round and sending that pick to Minnesota for a second-round pick and a second-round pick the following year as well. Was that a good move? Are you going to be upset if certain names fall to 23 that the Texans will now miss out on? That more when we get back on the bullpen, ESPN Radio, 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back inside the bullpen with the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next segment, we're going to talk about the Blake Snell to the Astros rumors. At 1:15, we're going to get into your Houston Rockets, who suddenly can't lose on the road and have won four in a row. And then at 1:30, our man Michael Carroll, who you hear every Sunday on Comicast 10 a.m., here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 will join us to talk about some of the new movies coming out. X-Men 97 starting up on Disney Plus next week and a whole lot more. And we will finish the show with Mount Rushmore Plus One, the greatest segment in the history of Western civilization. But first, Sean, you have some info for the listeners who might want to watch us on YouTube.
Yes, if you want to see my Stone Cold Steve Austin-inspired Big 12 WWE collaboration shirt from, December of this year, you can watch it on the ESPN Houston YouTube channel. That's right, we've made listening and watching your favorite sports radio station even easier. Now you can easily listen wherever, whenever. Now you can watch as well. If you want to listen, if you listen every day and like us, please click subscribe on the YouTube. It makes a big difference for us. It's free. You just subscribe, and then we're at the top of your feed. It makes it even easier to watch it. It matters. Let us know you're listening. Please and thank you.
Thank you. Well put, Sean. So as T's going into the break, let's talk about the trade the Texans made yesterday that certainly surprised me. Like I hadn't been following it. I don't remember what I was doing at the time, but I got a text from Joel Blank saying the Texans traded away their first-round pick. And my first thought was, maybe Nick Caserio decided to move up. Maybe he saw, I need a defensive tackle. Byron Murphy's going to be gone before 23. Maybe he traded up. But no, it's the exact opposite. They traded away their first-round pick.
By the way, Joel just being like, hey, the Texans made a trade.
Yeah, can you give me some details, Joel? Like, I then had
you know what the trade is.
Yeah, exactly. He saw the trade. It's like, hey, they traded it to Minnesota. They no longer have a first-round pick. It wouldn't take that much extra effort. It's, I have to go search it out now. I'd stop what I'm doing to go search it out on Twitter. Thank you, Sean, for having my back on that. Anyway, so the Texans trade away their first-round pick, number 20. Well, not their own first-round pick, but the first-round pick they had. Number 23 and a seventh-round pick, and got back number 42 overall in the second round from Minnesota, along with a sixth-round pick this year and Minnesota's 2025 second-round pick. And for what it's worth, for the capologist nerds out there, I looked this up on Twitter, thanks to our friend at Texans Cap on Twitter. The trade value that the Texans won this trade by is equivalent to a third-round pick. So certainly, like we were mentioning with his contracts, Nick Caserio doesn't do bad contracts. Nick Caserio, at least in this case, didn't lose a trade. Your overall reaction and, I guess, initial feelings about this trade when you saw it?
My initial reaction was, come on, Nick Caserio. As a radio producer,
give us something to talk about.
Give us something to talk about. What are we doing? We had plenty to talk.
I guess the draft party's canceled. I don't know if the draft party is going to be official. I might be speaking out of turn, but now
you are
now there's no first round pick. Are we still going to do it?
So that my first reaction was like, Selfish. Come on, can't even pretend.
Think of me when you make these moves.
Just wait to make the trade. But actual football reaction is that I understand what he's doing. the different, you know, you're trading down 20 picks more or less, and you're getting a
it's
a future second and a fourth rounder.
Yeah,
to do so.
Sixth. Sixth round. It's too far to call a pick swap, but it's not drastically. I mean, it's not.
It's definitely not a pick swap.
It's definitely not a pick swap because, like you said, it's 20 spots. But at the same time,
it's, but it's not 1-20.
Right. Exactly. And that's an important distinction.
It's 23-42, and yeah, that at that part of the draft, there's not huge difference among the talent that you're drafting from. So to pick up an extra pick this year and a second round pick next year, especially from the Minnesota Vikings, who real quick, looks like this is the move before the move for them to trade up for a quarterback.
Yeah, I fully believe they're going to take their own pick and the pick they got from the Texans to try to trade up. My initial thought is they're going to try to trade. I don't think they can get up to the top three to get, you know, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, or Drake May. I think they try to trade up to six with the Giants, who, if they're keeping Daniel Jones, they may be willing to move back to the Minnesota's pick, which I believe is 11.
Yeah.
And then that would allow the Vikings to draft, I presume, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a great pick, personally. It's just a whole other conversation. But that's kind of where it seems like they're going.
And no matter who they pick, you're going to think that that's going to be a pretty high second rounder next year.
That's the silver lining of this. I think this pick next year, the second round pick you got from Minnesota, is probably likely going to be a top 40 pick. Like, I don't think the Vikings are going to win more than 4 or 5 games this next year with whatever or whoever their quarterback is, whether it be Sam Darnold or a rookie. I can't see them winning more than 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that. So, you know, again, you're trading back to – you're basically going to get the, let's just say, the 42nd pick 2 years in a row,
right,
for trading the 23rd pick this year. So that – yeah, I mean, it's a very Nick Caserio move. It's a very Patriots move. I understand what the why the Vikings called Nick Caserio. I assume they called Nick Caserio first to be like, hey, we need someone to trade – that wants to trade back out of the first round.
Are you calling Nick Caserio Mark? Did the Vikings pick out Nick Caserio as an easy mark?
Not a mark, because they lost the trade.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
It's more of a...
I know, it's the way you phrase, like who's the sucker that we could get to trade back?
No, it's Nick not. Caserio. It's not even who's the sucker. It's
okay.
Who's itching to trade out of the first round?
That's a good point. Nick Caserio... Don't let the vest fool you, man. Nick Caserio is like a shark, man. Sharks, you know, they have to keep moving or they'll die. Nick Caserio has to keep trading or he's going to die. It feels like Nick Caserio cannot stay still.
Trades in one-year deals.
Yeah, exactly. It's his lifeblood.
You just need the hit.
It's his life. Yes, exactly.
He just needs the hit of the Rappaport.
Just a little, and he's good to go. Yeah, he's good to go.
I also, another reaction from the trade.
Go ahead.
Has anyone lost a trade on the like value chart by trading back?
Oh, that's a good.
I feel like every time you trade, because it's like
the smart people
you're
always
just getting more picks.
Yeah, the smart people always wanted. Like for years, they would praise the Patriots every time they would trade out the first rounds. Like, oh, by draft, they got. But yeah, that's a good
Has
point.
Has anyone traded up and won? Like one, not one. The like one because like you could say Nick Caserio last year traded up.
And, he would have lost on the trade value,
but lost on the value. Has anyone lost on the value by trading down?
Back. Man, I don't think there's any way we can look that up, but I'm fascinated to know if anyone happens to find that out, please let us know.
Texans
hit us
cap
up
if you're listening.
Yeah, yeah, Texans cap, hit us up. Sean A. Mapes, he's Sean A. Mapes on Twitter. I'm Zach by BMAC. Well, you know, you follow us. But anyway, that's not really conceited. But
he doesn't follow me.
Okay, well, he follows me. I guess I'm more big time than you. I don't know.
He's missing out.
You do have premium content.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you. I mean, you were asked this last week if you had to wear diapers on the air, and you had to respond to that on Twitter.
Oh no, did I have to wear diapers?
Yeah.
I said they weren't necessary.
Yeah, maybe if it was an 8-hour shift,
maybe
you would
if
have
I want,
to put,
and if I wanted to, I could have, but they weren't necessary.
It was a personal choice, not a necessity. So, spinning this forward, trying to transition away from diapers.
I looked over, John Belvers gave me the slow head shake.
Michael like Carroll doesn't know what he's walking into right now. He's going to walk into us, you know, fresh out of talking about diapers.
I missed that conversation this week, so that was wild.
It's a wild intro to that.
Yeah, I don't think Johnny Bilmer was expecting us to talk about diapers today when he came in for it. But what does this tell you about the Texans draft plans? To me, like, when we're looking at mock drafts, you know, before this deal, most people, we're projecting the Texans to take a defensive lineman, specifically a pass rusher, sometimes corner. Occasionally there would be someone that for some reason put in an offensive tackle.
Or a wide receiver.
Yeah, occasionally there was the wide receiver. I think an early mock draft had Brian Thomas out of LSU going there to the Texans at 23. But to me, what this tells me about the Texans' draft plans, especially considering what they've done in free agency, they don't need an edge rusher. And from what we've heard from guys like Matt Miller, edge rusher is a shallow position where if you didn't get it in the first round, you're not really going to get one that you would be all that happy with. Whereas other needs the Texans have, like wide receiver 3, cornerback, safety, quite a bit deeper. To me, this is Nick Caserio looking at the board, not only trying to pick up value by getting the second round pick next year, but thinking like, the things we need are still going to be in there in the second round, so just let's just take the win with the trade if we're not having to invest a first-round pick in the edge rusher anymore.
Yes, or a cornerback. Like, the idea that you're going to get a starting cornerback in the second round is just like, but more often than not, you're going to get a guy who's going to get burnt his entire rookie year. And maybe he develops, but it's going to be tough sledding.
I mean, even first round guys, Kareem Hunt was a first round pick. His rookie year was horrible before he turned it around.
Kareem Jackson.
What did I say?
Kareem Hunt.
That's a different person. That is a different person. That's thank you.
Borderline defamation. So that's what it speaks. It tells me that it's going to be one of the deeper positions in the draft, like you were pointing out. And I've talked with our very own Lance Zierlein about it.
I heard he's a numbers guy.
NFL Network.
The preeminent draft expert.
Yeah, preeminent draft expert. He was saying that, you know, wide receiver is super deep this year.
And I've heard people talk about like 7-8 wide receivers possibly going in round one.
And so maybe that's what maybe it's a wide receiver. Maybe it is a defensive tackle. Maybe it is.
Yeah, like a Devondre Sweat, which we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, so it tells me that it's probably not going to be secondary, probably not going to be pass rusher, obviously not going to be a pass rusher now.
Before we go to break and get into the Blake Snell to the Astros rumor, is there anyone that could fall to 23 that would have you on that draft night, that Thursday, will be like, damn it, the Caleb Texans Williams. Missed out. Caleb Williams. Come on. Look what he's
just,
doing to me.
Just for the value, you know.
just for the clicks.
Maybe one of the – no, because the wide receivers that are like –
I don't think this would happen.
The top three wide receivers, there's just no world they're making it to 23.
Byron Murphy. I don't think he's going to make it to 23. But let's say crazy things happen and he's there at 23. Maybe.
There's a gas mask bong video like Laramie Tunsil right before the draft. Murphy would be one. I'm trying to think of like realistic guys. There's not really that many realistic guys. Maybe Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah, the corner, sure. Yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, on the other side of the break, when we get back on the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Lots of rumors out there that the Astros are interested in Blake Snell to add to the rotation after the injury to Jose Urquidy. If you didn't hear, he had to leave a game the other day due to an elbow problem after just 40 pitches. So we will talk about those Blake Snell rumors and the status of the Astros rotation when we get back on the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.